Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson.
Well, welcome everyone. Ben Carson here with another episode of Common Sense. And have you ever thought about what's happening when our corporate leaders spend more of their political time with these agendas than producing products and services, which is what they were established for? And why is corporate wokeism so harmful to society and bad for business? And we're very fortunate to be joined by Andy Puzder. There's no one who probably speaks more eloquently on these subjects than he does. It started with political correctness. You know, when I spoke at the prayer breakfast in 1997, not the one in 2013, but in 97, I talked about how political correctness was going to get out of hand and play a large role in destroying our society if we didn't understand what it was and if we let it continue to control us and to control our speech and to control our thoughts and now to control our businesses. And so it started with political correctness. It entered into the boardrooms of the largest corporate entities in our country, calling it corporate social responsibility. I remember being on the corporate social responsibility committee on a couple of different Fortune 500 companies. And now it's called ESG, Environmental, Social, and Corporate Governance. So who is behind all of this wokeness in the boardrooms, and how do we fix it?
Well, I'm glad we're talking about this. It really is the most fundamental challenge to our core values, our constitutional values that we face in my lifetime. And it really comes from these large investment fund managers that control incredible amounts of stock. And it's interesting, they control this stock not because they've spent their own money to buy it, but because they use our money to buy it. If you've got a 401k plan or a pension plan or a mutual fund or really any kind of investment product at all, you are likely invested with companies like BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, which added together are the number one shareholder in 90% of the companies in the S&P 500. And if you just take BlackRock alone, it's the first, second, or third largest shareholder in 90% of the companies in the S&P 500, again, using our money. And they vote these shares to implement this progressive economic and political agenda called ESG investing, which is radical environmental policy, critical race theory, HR policies, putting people on boards, not based on their qualification or their merits, but based on their race or their sex, which is something I've been fighting against my entire career. And it threatens our democracy because it's really a shortcut around the democratic process. These are things they can't get done at the ballot box. So they're using their vote as shareholders to compel American businesses to adopt these policies. It's a threat to our economic freedom because they use this power to compel CEOs in various companies to enact policies that take them away from a focus on the success of the business, takes them away from a focus on profits, to focus on these, again, these progressive agenda items. And it's a threat to our individual liberty because they use our money to do it, which is really the thing that kind of riles me up here. You know, if it's Bill Gates or George Soros or Mark Zuckerberg, at least they use their own money. These people are using our money to implement a progressive socialist agenda, and it's infuriating.
That's exactly right. And what is it for our listeners that the Black Rocks of the world can do to a company that says, that's a bunch of crap, I'm not doing that? What power do they have?
Well, let's take Exxon, for example, which I think everybody knows is a fairly large company. Back about a year ago, a small hedge fund, which was an environmentalist-inspired hedge fund called Engine Number One, decided that they were going to try and put environmentalists on Exxon, the largest energy company, the largest fossil fuel company in the United States. With oil prices surging, right? Oil prices going through the roof. They want to put environmentalists on the board of Exxon. Well, anybody with any sense was sitting back and saying, well, that can't possibly happen. The management opposed the appointment of these directors. Well, BlackRock and Vanguard voted in favor of putting these environmentalist directors on the board of Exxon, and that's where they sit today. They won election to that board. Now, once something like that happens, I can tell you, having once been the CEO of a large publicly traded company, that when your largest shareholder comes in and says, you know, Andy, look, we really need you to take a look at this. This is a policy we want you to implement. And I say, well, you know, no, that I can't do that. It takes me away from, I got to focus on running the business and generating returns for my shareholders. A lot of people have their retirement income tied up in this company. And they say, you know, Andy, you ought to take a look at what happened to Exxon. You know, you might not be so happy at your next shareholders meeting if you don't listen to us. So you get, and I'm not saying like all CEOs resist this. You know, take the CEO of Disney, for example. I mean, what a disaster. You've got a company that its stock is down like 25, 30%. Its positive ratings are down like 53 percentage points. Why? Is it because they got bad amusement parks all of a sudden? Is it because they have a bad brand? No, it's because the CEO of that company decided to pursue these woke policies, their main goal being to overturn this law in Florida on gay rights. You know, they call it don't say gay. Well, that's right, because the bill doesn't say gay at all. It doesn't make any reference to the term. But that's their corporate objective. No wonder their stock is down. And that really is a breach of their fiduciary duties, I believe, to their shareholders to generate profits and to maintain their broad-based audience. So I'm not saying all CEOs aren't inclined this way. Some are inclined this way, maybe the CEO of Coke or American Express. But even apart from that, there's this pressure from these huge investment firms, where even if that's not what you wanted to do, there's going to be extreme pressure on you to adopt these policies. And now they're trying to extend it even to states. States can't get credit if they don't adopt ESG-type criteria. So we're really seeing a widespread influence of this really horrific leftist, progressive, collectivist policy.
Well, you know, I've sat in on many of those board meetings and listened to the angst of the CEO and the other C-suite executives because, you know, they would really like to get on with the business.
Yes.
And not be concerned with all of these things. And, you know, let's talk about capitalism for a minute here. You know, capitalism has almost become a bad word these days because of the left's philosophy, which has infiltrated so widely and had the media as its supporter. And it's been very problematic. But if you really want to stop and be objective, capitalism has provided the mechanism for millions and millions of people, not only in this country, but around the world, to emerge from a state of servitude to a point of independence. It's done that much better than any other system has ever done in the history of the world. So there's really, in my opinion, nothing wrong with capitalism. It's just that it needs to be mixed with a dose of compassion. And as long as you mix it with that dose of compassion, it is extraordinary. And I think about, you know, the benefits that I've had in my lifetime from living in this country. I've visited 68 different countries. I've lived overseas. There's no place like America. But if we take our companies and we take that capitalism and then we admix it with socialism and control, and when you start having the companies actually carry out the will of the government, isn't that fascism? Isn't that what we're starting to engage in this country? And I just hope people can actually recognize it before it's too late.
Well, this is again, like socialism, and that's a great comparison you brought up. Like socialism, this ESG investing is an attempt to put power into a small group of elites. With socialism, it's a small group of government elites. With ESG investing, it's a small group of financial elites. And your point on capitalism couldn't be more true. Now, if you think about capitalism, how do you succeed in a capitalist economy? How do you get ahead? Well, you only get ahead by coming up with the products or services that other people need at a price they can afford to pay. In other words, you succeed in a capitalist economy by meeting the needs of other people. And the real driver of that is the ability to improve your life, the ability to profit, the ability to move forward with your life. So you move forward in your life by meeting other people's needs. You know, that's not greedy. That's not a horrible system. That's a system that encourages you to go outward to meet the needs of other people. In a socialist economy, you're focused on your own needs. You're trying to figure out how you can get the most you possibly can from a limited supply of goods or services that the government makes available. So if you're in line for bread, let's say bread or gas or medical care, you're not thinking about the people in front of you or behind you in that line. You're thinking about yourself when you get to the end of that line. How can you get the most for yourself? And you do that by meeting the needs of political elites. In a capitalist economy, you do it by meeting the needs of general consumers. That's working and middle class everyday Americans. It's why Henry Ford made Fords for the common man and the common woman. It's why Steve Jobs came up with the iPhone for everybody, not for government elites. And it's why Jeff Bezos's Amazon is so successful. It's successful because it meets the needs of everybody. You're not trying to meet the needs of a limited number of government elites. When you get into this ESG investing, it really is the socialist side. It's a way the socialists can attack the economy and try to take control of that, as opposed to taking control of it through the government. And we're gonna lose when we Barack Obama said exactly what you said. He said it in 2015. He said, we don't dispute that capitalism is the greatest wealth creator in the history of the world and that it has lifted billions of people out of poverty. Well, why on earth would you want to mess with a system like that? I mean, when you redirect modern corporations away from meeting the needs of other people, away from trying to generate a profit, towards trying to accomplish these socialist goals, you put this entire system that has lifted so many people out of poverty and you put it at risk. And this is what ESG investing is about. And I said, it's a really, really significant risk. To me, it's worse than the threat from communism. Because communism, it was always from outside. Like, we thought we could win. You and I are of the same generation. We were always afraid back then, but we thought America could withstand this outside attack. This is that inside attack that we've always heard so much about. This is, you know, the way you beat capitalism, the way we're going to be lose is being attacked internally. This is that attack. This comes from inside, and it's very, very dangerous.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
So, you know, we've got all these wonderful things going on in the energy sector. And I understand that there are others who believe only in green energy. And everything must be green energy, and we have to have it, and we have to have it now. What do you think are the possibilities of people being able to actually work together? Take what you have to get what you want. We've got fantastic natural fossil fuel resources. We can use that to protect ourselves as well as our allies overseas. At the same time, be working on renewable energy resources. And then as they become, economically feasible, just integrate those into the system. Why is that a hard concept for people to understand?
Well, maybe you're talking about common sense here, and that was about the most common sense statement on energy I ever heard. Maybe we need some uncommon sense, because this green energy thing has become a religion, really. Climate change there was actually a bank that fired somebody for giving an approved speech just yesterday, where he said that the threat from the climate change thing is exaggerated. And they actually approved the speech, and then they fired him for giving it. This has become so, it's almost endemic on the left. You can't talk to anybody if you in any way question their position on the climate. But if what happened with Ukraine, where we really, if we hadn't driven up the price of oil, has anybody asked a question? Could Russia have invaded the Ukraine if the price of oil hadn't been so as high as it was? You know, Ronald Reagan brought down the Soviet Union by driving down the price of oil, which really hurt them economically. And then should we really be buying oil? We're not reducing our consumption of oil. They're just causing middle and working class Americans to pay more for it. And we end up empowering not only Russia, but Iran, Venezuela, countries that even Saudi Arabia, who currently isn't much of a friend to us. I think under President Trump, it was becoming more friendly and would have probably ended up with a peace treaty with Israel had he remained in power. But they're not friends of this administration. Do we want to keep empowering these people? No, what we need to do is to generate energy production in the United States. You're absolutely right. We were energy independent. We could be energy independent again. And I'll tell you, if President Biden would just simply stand on the White House steps and announce to the world, we're back in the energy business. We're going to be granting permits. We're going to be granting leases on federal land to drill. We're going to be putting in pipelines. We're going to be encouraging, not discouraging, banks from lending to oil companies. The price of oil would come down, because this is a supply and demand problem. And when the world anticipates that supply is going up, the price comes down. You don't even have to have more oil. You just have to create the sense, the anticipation that there will be more oil, and the price will come down. But I don't think this administration, to get back to your point, I don't think this administration is capable of even doing that, because the left, the squad, they'd come after them with daggers if they tried something like this. So we've got an administration that has taken the wrong position on this. It's politically unable to move. And the people of the United States, voting Americans, need to change that in this upcoming election if we're going to see any progress at all.
Well, there's no question it's going to be we the people who will make the difference on all of this. But, it's interesting. Last week, when they came out with the companies most admired for compliance with ESG requirements, and Tesla was left off, even though, you know, they were like the cheerleaders in the beginning because of electric vehicles. And it shows you how all this is being used for political purposes. Elon Musk has become their enemy now because, you know, he has awakened and is seeing how things really are and wants to do something about it. And they don't like that very much. So
they don't, which is why they're attacking Elon. And by the way, many of the things on which they've attacked you and me, they'll go after you from anything they can possibly come up with. With Elon, they're coming after him now on some ridiculous claims. But he's a big threat to them, because millennials love Elon Musk. And if Elon's and they respect him, he's a very, very, you know, you don't You don't try and advance the world to an interplanetary race or go to Mars or come up with electric vehicles because you're a dummy. I mean, this is a smart, smart guy. And I think millennials are saying, you know, he's out there calling the Democrats the party of hate. Well, you know, that could have an impact, and it should have an impact. It's wonderful that he stepped up. He's a courageous, intelligent individual. I have nothing but respect for him. I don't agree with him on everything, but I don't agree with anybody on everything. And you can't help but like the guy.
Well, I agree with you. I always say if two people agree about everything, one of them isn't necessary.
Yeah, that's true.
And everybody is very important right now. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Well, we are back. You know, does growing a corporate conscience, as they call it, increase the bottom line? Or is it ultimately bad for consumers, stakeholders, and the economy?
Okay, so let me ask, I know you know the answer to this, so I'm just going to take it to your viewers. Do you really need an economist to tell you that if you implement high-cost, low-return environmental policies, radical environmental policies, that your profits are going to go down? You know, do you need an economist to tell you that? Do you need an economist to tell you that companies that focus on profit will be more profitable than companies that don't? Obviously, if you're it's hard enough to make a profit when you focus on it, let alone when you're focused on trying to change the world consistent with some leftist progressive agenda. So it will not help companies. I don't care what studies you see. I don't care what leftist economists you hear from. Just use your common sense. If you're running a business and you're trying to make a profit, will you be better able to do so if you concentrate on making a profit rather than concentrating on trying to be a politician and changing the world? I think the answer is fairly self-evident.
I think so, too. And what about virtue signaling? Can you explain to our listeners what it is, and does it work?
Well, there are companies that try and make it look like they're good guys when it really doesn't mean anything. And I think people pick up on it. For example, think about the last time you went to a hotel and you saw that sign that said, "We're green. You got to love us. We're the greenest company. Don't wash your towels. Just leave them hung up on the rack." Do you honestly think that the company's trying to be greener because they don't want you to wash your towels? No, they want to cut down on their laundering expense. So you've got companies that do this kind of thing as a marketing ploy and try and look green. And maybe for some people it works. I think I laugh at it when I see it. That doesn't really bother me so much. It's more, or like Nike using Colin Kaepernick. When they announced the results of the Colin Kaepernick ad, Nike didn't come out and say, "You know what? Our sales went down. This was a bad idea. You're going to make less money. Your stock's going to be worth less. But aren't we good guys?" No, what they came out and said was, "We used Colin Kaepernick in an ad. Our demographic, our target market loved it, and the profits went up." You know, these are different ways that people try and look woke so they can get the Larry Finks, the Black Rocks, the State Street, the Vanguards off their backs. But at the same time, they're really not woke. They're simply trying to make a profit. So that's different. That's different than somebody like Disney or Coke that are willing to screw up their entire business plan to try and accomplish some leftist political agenda. So there is a difference by company here.
Well, you know, it was pretty interesting that the disinformation agency has been disassembled. But, I mean, you talk about disinformation, how they tried to characterize the Parents' Right in Educational Act in Florida as the Don't Say Gay bill. And with the help of the media, you know, spread that around when it had nothing to do with Don't Say Gay. And do you think the corporations are going to learn from Disney's example? I mean, their shares declined 32.1% this year. And, you know, their stock has taken about a $50 billion devaluation. Obviously, they're not doing their stockholders any favor. Do you think others are looking at this and gaining something?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you, one of the great examples of that would be an issue that's of concern to you and me, which is this abortion issue. With the release of the draft opinion in the Dodd case, looking like the court will overturn Roe versus Wade, you've had these PR agencies out there telling companies, don't talk about this. You know, now, some companies, like, I don't know, a few of the far left companies have announced that they're going to provide transportation for their employees. They're going to send them out of state, pay for their airfare and their abortions if they're in a state that doesn't provide them, which would be an interesting conversation with your employer, wouldn't it? I need airfare to go get an abortion. But leaving that aside for the moment, other than those few corporations, you don't hear a lot of talk about this, even from companies that have talked about other issues. And I think it's because they're starting to realize that there are significant risks to being a woke corporation. There are significant risks to doing this. And it seems like the Job Creators Network has something called the Boardroom Initiative. I'm a director of the Job Creators Network, have been since the beginning. And this is something Brad Anderson's involved with, who used to be the CEO at Best Buy, and Ed Renzi, who was the CEO at McDonald's. I'm involved trying to get the word out there that what these CEOs are doing actually damages ordinary Americans. It damages everyday people because people depend on these stocks for their retirements. And anybody watching their 401ks lately, you know, who's looking to retire, you may be thinking about going back to work with the way that the stock market's going. So you want to invest in companies that go the right way. And then there's another company I'm involved with called Second Vote Advisors that actually offers investment products that are consistent with conservative values. We actually have a pro-life fund. We have a pro-civil safe society fund, which is pro-Second Amendment and and does not invest in companies that oppose border security or defunding the police. So you can get them. They're listed on the Chicago Board of Option Exchange. They're Aegis, E-G-I-S, and Life, L-Y-F-E. You can get them on Ameritrade, but you can go to our website, secondvoteadvisors.com, and you'll get information on the company, which I think would be helpful. So we do have alternatives. We are, you know, the Boardroom Initiative is trying to educate people. Second Vote Advisors is trying to offer alternatives. There are other people out there that are trying to do the same kinds of things, and it's working. There's increasingly a price for being part of woke America, and we need to make the price heavier and more significant.
Absolutely. I mean, this country is, in fact, supposed to be about the people. Something happened.
Well, and hopefully in November, we're going to see just how much it's about the people. I think Americans are incredibly upset. And how could you not be upset? Could you imagine? We went from January of 2019, where things were great. The administration you were in, the people that I was working with in the administration, we thought we were going to do this for another, at least 4 or 5 years. And now we're literally talking about a realistic possibility of World War III. Forget the Abraham Accords and peace. World War III, worldwide famine, babies in America can't get enough formula. The southern border almost doesn't exist, just allowing people in willy-nilly. This is, we've gone, and we're talking about stagflation, not just inflation, not just declining economic growth, but stagflation, a combination of both. This is an incredible turnaround, really in 18 months. Since President Biden took office. And it's just, we need to change. This has to change.
I hope by juxtaposing these things right next to each other, while it's fresh in people's minds, they can see that elections do have consequences. and that that they need to be, you know, pretty careful about what they're doing. They got to spend a little bit of extra time evaluating who they're voting for, evaluating where their dollars are going. And we'll come back to that theme in just a moment. We need to take another break. Okay, everyone, Ben Carson here. We're back with Andy Puzner, and we're still talking about what's going on that makes sense in the corporate world today, the wokeness. And is there anything that you can do about it? Is there anything that I can do about it? Us as Americans, recognizing that this country was designed around us. Of, by, and for the people. Not of, by, and for the government. Not of, by, and for those who enforce ESG. But for us, the people. One of the reasons that we've been so successful is because we had in place policies that encouraged entrepreneurship and innovation. And that's why the vast majority of life-changing inventions over the last couple of centuries have come out of the United States of America. Do we want to really change that environment, or do we want to recognize the things that perhaps have not been perfect and learn from those things, not try to cover them up, not try to bury them, but learn from those things and move forward? And recognize that we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. And just inject a little common sense, a little love into what we're doing. Recognize the fact that when we get the people that we elect to be people who align with our values, things go much more smoothly. Don't be one of those people who goes in the voting booth and just looks for a name that looks familiar. Because if you do that, you're going to keep getting the same thing. You need to know who these people are, what their values are. And you should get involved with the companies also. You know, you get these little proxy things in the mail all the time. Look at them and find out who these people are and vote your values. That's how we bring things back once again. Andy, you have some closing remarks for us?
Yeah, I would just agree with everything you said. Look, we've got a federal election coming up this November, and then another one in 2024. But we've also got state elections, and be very careful who you vote for in your state. There are some states where people are reacting to this attempt by financial elites to do what the government elites tried to do with socialism. The financial elites are trying to do with ESG investing. And we have, you know, races for governor, races for treasurer. The treasurers in states like Arizona, Utah, West Virginia have really taken action already. Idaho, Texas are taking action against ESG investing. You need to find out if the people in your state are acting, and if they are acting, vote for and support them. And be careful where you invest and with who you invest. Now, we've got some at Second Vote Advisors, we have some investment alternatives, and we hope you'll look at least look into them to take advantage of them. With Job Creators Network, you've got a group that's willing to go out and educate people, let them know just how this affects their lives and how you can affect these companies. There's also a company out there called Second Vote Research that actually analyzes every company. And this is a not-for-profit, so you just go to Second Vote Inc., and they will tell you whether the companies you're shopping at, the companies where you're buying products, are liberal supporting or conservative or neutral. And, you know, quite honestly, although I'm a conservative, I like going to neutral companies because I like companies that aren't focused on politics, whether it's politics on the left or the right. I certainly don't want them to act contrary to my values, but you know, neutral is okay. If you're focused on making a profit, you know, then I can support that. And you can find out how these companies are rated. So there are ways you can act. And you should act and listen to Dr. Carson's show, because you're going to get a lot of good information here about what's going on in the world, and you need to know.
Well, thank you so much. We couldn't have had a better guest to talk about this than Andy Pudsdon.
Well, thank you.
It is absolutely spectacular. You know, I just thought of something as we sign off, and the founder of Costco Wholesale was talking one time, and he said, you know, my political views are my political views, but why would I put them out there and turn off half of my customers?
Yep.
I thought that was pretty practical.
Well, that guy who runs Coke and Disney should have been listening to him.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that you'll come back and join us again next week. You can go to Apple Podcasts for all of you listeners, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. Tell your family, tell your friends, because it's we, the people, who will help America be successful and be great in the future. See you next week.